Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Apex Theory, where we talk about everything Apex Legends. And today, we have got some great stuff to talk about. Talking about ALGS, the Winter Circuit, second tournament that has happened. So there's just two more left until the playoffs, and then the last chance qualifier as well. But let's get into some reviews first.
Yep, so the first review coming from Captain Blay 88 Apex. Game is good, this podcast is better. Short and simple review, I like it.
Me too. Hey, 5 stars, we appreciate it. Thank you. I'm not too sure about that, but thanks again. Next one coming from Clutch Kebab. Fun, fun, fun. What episode have you had the most fun doing? That's a tough one. For me, go ahead, Lucas.
For me, that's not tough at all. This episode actually hasn't come out yet, but definitely the Results of Interview. We spoiled it, but
Results of Interview is next week. We interviewed him, it was like a week ago, last week we interviewed him, and since Lucas is going to be gone next week, going on vacation again, but he won't be able to record an episode, so we're going to post the result interview next week, so a week from today, Saturday, so that way you guys will get an episode next week. And speaking of new episodes, we're going to be doing an episode like we're doing now, where we're talking about who each wins each game and everything, like what we've done in previous AOGS episodes, but we are going to do it for the next two tournaments. So after the result interview, we will have AOGS Winter Circuit 3 and AOGS Winter Circuit 4, and then we'll have another episode, and then we'll wait for the we'll just keep doing a couple more episodes, not necessarily AOGS, but then once the last chance qualifier hits, we will cover that, and then playoffs. But for my favorite episode, I have to agree with Lucas. SF Result Interview was definitely the most fun I've had in this podcast.
Yeah, man. Can't wait for our listeners to get that.
Yeah, me too. It'll be exciting. But on to AOGS. So, a little bit that was, like, surprising. We've seen TSM switching up their comp legends a lot lately, but Imperial Howl finally switched to Horizon. So, what are your thoughts on this, Lucas, with a lot of people switching from Wraith to Horizon? You saw it with Complexity as well.
I really think Horizon's a strong legend, but just the Horizon Q in the Gibby bubble is not nearly as strong as the Wraith Q from the Gibby bubble. I struggle with this, man. I really think Horizon's a great legend, and she's viable for ranked and competitive, but I really think Wraith is the best legend still.
Well, for me, I wouldn't say she's the best legend. I'd say right now, Gibby is probably better since they made that change to circles to where it's gone from 7 to 6 now. It shrinks quicker. I think Gibby's probably better than Wraith with his, just think about this. In bubble fights, Gibby gets one free hit on the other team. That's basically, because it's OP, but not OP enough to where it needs to be buffed. Like, he's balanced, but yet still OP. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, the big reason people are playing Horizon and Gibby is to use the Horizon Q and then do the Gibby Q right on top of it.
Gibby ult. You meant Horizon Q, or Horizon ult and Gibby ult.
Yeah, that is a pretty strong combination, but it's really easy to avoid. It's really easy to, not the airstrike, it's just really easy to avoid the
Ult, the Horizon Ult, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it definitely gets people out of their safe space. But, I don't know, it's Horizon's at a rough spot for me.
Yeah, but so what he was talking about there is what you want to do is you want to Horizon ult them, and if you're Horizon, you want it. So you want to queue up, Horizon ult the team, which is the black hole, and then that'll suck them in, and then you want to throw a couple arc stars right next to the ult, and that'll hopefully hit the team, and then you want to have your Gibby ult defensive bombard the team that is getting sucked into the black hole, because then the arc stars will hit them. And the Gibby ult will, hopefully, if they don't break the black hole.
Yeah, yep.
So, and, I mean, it's a pretty strong combo, but go ahead, Lucas.
Yeah, it is a pretty strong combo, but... Okay, so here's something that was pretty crazy throughout this tournament. I don't think this team was exactly hard to miss. Ranked is harder... runs Revenant and Octane and Caustic.
Yeah, it was very, very surprising, but I mean, hey, it worked for them.
Yeah, that's true, it did work.
And I mean, like, a lot of people think that Octane jump pad is kind of similar to a portal, which it kind of is, so that's why they're like, it's like not just because ranked is harder, team that just likes to have fun and AOGS. But it does basically the same thing as a portal, maybe even goes farther, but it's not nearly as safe, and but it does recharge quicker, so that also is a benefit. Wraith's portal is pretty slow to charge up.
Yeah, but...
And,
like,
Go ahead. Revenant is also... starting to get into competitive meta, honestly. I don't think he's exactly there yet, but I think if you decided to run, like, no Wraith and try some, like, weird combo, like maybe Revenant, Caustic, Gibby, or, like, I think if you tried to run some weird combo with Revenant, Caustic, I think that could be pretty crucial in meta. Like, maybe Revenant, Crypto, Caustic.
Yeah, like... to put this in short perspective, like, with Octane, like, the portal can do less qualities, but can do them better, and the portal, I mean, and the jump pad can do more qualities, but doesn't do them as good as the Horizon portal, and it's like, I don't think that Octane's tactical is really helpful at all, in ALGS. But, I mean, I do think his passive is, just to get that last bit of help before, you know, for if you're getting third-partied or just anything. Like, and if you're holding buildings with a Caustic, that can be very helpful as well.
Yeah, exactly. That was, like, really well put there with the jump pad and portal comparison. Really well. And next, we saw, because last time with ALGS, we saw that Complexity didn't qualify, and that was kind of a shocker, because they were the Autumn Circuit playoff champions, and also Autumn Circuit tournament champions. I believe they won 2 and 4, so they made it, they qualified for this tournament, but the disbenefit to this is they get less overall points, because your points build up over each tournament into seeing who qualifies for ALGS playoffs and who doesn't need to qualify through the last chance qualifier. So,
yeah.
That is really the only disbenefit to them qualifying with this, not qualifying with that one, besides also not knowing exactly what legend comps to run, and being able to just like the practice, because scrims aren't happening very often. And AOGS is happening pretty often, actually.
Yeah, that's true. And now we are going to talk about some comp meta legends. Like, competitive meta is, like, blowing up right now. Like, nobody... it's really just blindsight now. Like, it's not just the old days where Gibby, I mean, no, Rafe. Watson,
yeah,
Pathy, Rafe, but it's not like the Autumn Circuit where it was just Gibby, Rafe, Bloodhound. It's really confusing. So, like, here's all the legends that are really in the meta. There's Bloodhound, Pathfinder, still kind of up there, Gibraltar, obviously, Wraith, obviously, and Caustic, yep, and Watson, Octane, Crypto, Revenant, and Horizon. There is just so many combinations, so many legends, I don't even know, man.
Exactly, like, that's the only weird thing about this comp, and is actually affecting teams like TSM and Complexity, is that, like, there's so many legends and legend comp combinations that you can make with these that no one really knows which is best for, like, their team and their playstyle. Especially for TSM, it's, like, weird because TSM sometimes they'll play Circle and just get kills, and sometimes they'll play Edge and play more aggressive. So sometimes, as you might know, in ALGS, you don't get a beacon at your beacon to scan for the next zone. Sometimes you do. If you do, you want to rotate early and play zone. But if you don't, you want to play edge and go for kills. But, yeah, that's really all I have to say. Besides, I think the main legend comp right now that you should be running is probably Wraith, Caustic, Gibby, unless, which I really want to see sometime, is Gibby, Caustic, Crypto. Because what you can do is, you can Gibby ult them, the team will bubble, you EMP, it takes away their bubble and any Caustic traps they had set up, and then you can ult that, Caustic ult that as well, and then you're just putting out a ton of damage. And you also have the other sides to it, the bubble for Gibby, which is good in in-game fights and a lot of other situations. His arm shield, mainly for him, but also helps for leveling up Evo's Crypto Drone for getting banners and respawning people easier. And it just gives you a lot more information than Bloodhound does, unless you're playing aggressive. But I think even if you play aggressive, Crypto can still be good. And then you got Caustic, where you can play both aggressive and set up in a building with him.
Yeah, for sure. Like, Crypto, I really think, like, in ranked, not every team plays Gibraltar, but even in ranked, like, every team is, like, has a Caustic now. Yeah. So, like, Crypto is just so useful, and you don't have to be solo with him. Very useful. That's the thing, like, a good ranked combo, never in competitive, obviously, but, Lifeline and Crypto actually are really well together. That's just a random fact, but...
Lucas. You love that Lifeline, man.
Yes, man. My main when I first started.
Exactly. Which, I mean, she wasn't half bad when she first started. She's still not bad right now, but not necessarily for comp.
She's better than Mirage.
Yes, that is true. Real. We saw Mirage in ranked, though. It was... We already talked about this before, but Rampart, Loba, Mirage. But we saw CLG win game one in when it first started. So, like, what were your thoughts going into this, Lucas?
Like, I really was expecting, like, a team that we don't hear, like, a lot about. Like, I mean, I don't know, it's just weird going from TSM and Solofide dominating to all these teams just actually being on the same level with, I mean, like, TSM, man, they had a rough tournament, and...
Yeah.
At least Solofide did pretty good.
They did alright. They got... Well, we can't say what they got, because we're not done yet. But I agree. That was also partly because CLG didn't qualify last ALGS tournament, just like Complexity, which is why, like, this tournament was so different, because last ALGS, you saw a lot of teams that haven't been in ALGS really before, And then now you see COG, Complexity, all these other teams qualifying and now dominating, and then it just causes chaos, and it's weird. But on to Game 2, we sadly saw TSM getting taken out for squad because a team has decided that, like, this is the first AOGS ever they qualified, and instead of taking place a drop that no one, like, so when you qualify, someone else doesn't qualify, like, for the first time. Like, if I were them, I wouldn't have taken TSM's drop, just because, like, not just because I'm a fan of TSM, but because it's not very smart to go into early game fights and just risk all that money and lots of AOGS points on an early game fight, depending on what loot you get. Because TSM could get a Mastiff with Purple Bolt and R301, and then you could get a P2020 with a 3x and a charge ride or a sentinel. You can't do the same that you can with other things. So that's just my take, but this is sad for me. TSM's at an all-time low right now because they're having to take these early game fights because they're the other team that qualified is lands at Fragment just like them.
Yeah, for sure. Like, most of the time, like, in ranked, I sacrifice my decent loot, to just, like, get better positions, and then, like, it just improves your game, because, like, you have to work with what you got, like.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's why, that's the, one of the benefits and disbenefits to rotating early. You may get a god spot in zone, but you're not having as good loot. If you stay in loot up and then play edge, you're getting better loot, and maybe even still a decent spot and lots of kills.
Yeah, like, exactly, man. Like, I don't know. People just worry about, stress about loot too much, in my opinion, and we saw TSM, it costs them.
Exactly. On to game 2, end game. CLG wins again, game 2. And this is partly because they got the same exact circle that they got in game 1, which I'm not really sure why, but for me, as soon as I saw CLG win game 2, I thought they were winning. Like, I immediately knew CLG's gonna win. Cause,
yeah, for sure.
Like, 75% of the time, if you're able to take home 2 games in an AOGS tournament, there's very high chance that you win. Like, it's very slim that you lose. Unless a team just breaks out, another team and breaks out and wins 2 games, or 3 games, or even 1 game, and then gets the next game gets really high KP, it's very unlikely that you will lose.
Exactly. And another thing that happened, game 3, Design Bull switches to Bloodhound on Team Aim Assist.
Solifide, same thing.
Yeah, Solifide. But, yeah, that was just kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, I think partly why he did that was because, again, Game 3, we got the same exact circle that we got in Game 2, which is another reason why this tournament kind of upset me. We didn't get any circle differentiation or variation. It was just all in where CLG was, so they were just able to hold it there and get free KP and everything, and then get first place. So, since Solifide kept having, because where the zone was lead taking, they had to rotate literally all the way the farthest point across the map for Solifide aim assist. So that's why he decided to switch. And I think also because since all these other teams like CLG and Complexity are qualifying, it switches up how they were able to play last AOGS, where they were going Wraith, Caustic, Gibby. And so he decided to switch to Bloodhound, which he's experienced on both, and did great on both. But anything else you want to say on that, Lucas?
No, man, you covered it pretty well. Yeah, so...
Thank you. And at the end of Game 3, Absolute Monarchy wins, which is kind of surprising, but it's also not, because since we got the same zone in that game again as Game 2 and Game 1, I kind of expected CLG to win that again, but I am guessing that Absolute Monarchy and some of the other teams figured this out before it rotated there, before it's like circle closed, and since they had already seen what CLG did twice in Game 1 and Game 2, they knew what CLG would do again in Game 3, Game 3, so they knew how to counter it and beat them.
Yeah, for sure. Absolute Monarchy, pretty unheard of, honestly.
Exactly.
Congrats to them for winning Game 3. That was a well-deserved win.
Really well. For sure. And we will be right back after this quick break from our sponsors.
Hey guys, go right now check out the Courier Creative, and they are a media service and content brand specializing in producing, designing, distributing, and publishing and creating content that sends a message. So go check them out right now and show them some love.
And we are back.
Yup, and now we're on to Game 4, where Solo Fide are the king of the Eiffel Tower. Really just got a lot of kills from that, man. That was really fun to watch. Made some great plays there, and yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't know, the basically what happened, his circle was closing towards the northeast side of the map, and Solo Fide aim assist just found a nice big rock mountain sort of thing. Then they just got up there, killed the team on top, and that was on top of there, and then just held that for the rest of the game and got a bunch of kills and everything.
Yeah, that was really fun to watch, man. Yeah, I always like to see Solo Fide do well. Besides Team Cruelty, I think, pretty much the only controller team.
Solo Fide aim assist.
Yeah, Solo Fide, man. But, yeah, so now we are going on to Mouse and Keyboard wins Game 4. Really interesting here, really fun game to watch. Mouse and Keyboard just really got their third parties executed really well in that game and just came out of nowhere at the end and just smacked them, man.
Yeah, Solo Fide probably could have won that game if they had played it a little better, but it doesn't always happen. They dropped down to kill the third team that was alive, and so they killed them. Then it was a 3v3, but unfortunately, Designful and Rizzolto were low, and it didn't end up working out for Solo Fide, which is fine, because, I mean, they're probably already going to qualify for playoffs, considering how much KP they get each game, each tournament, and they won last Aegis Winner's Circuit 1. But, yeah, sadly, we have TSM getting taken out again at the first squad, which sucks again. Like, I mean, at this point, like, right now, TSM's doing good in other tournaments, and they're doing, like, fine in AOGS, but I just don't see TSM doing insanely well until they're able to either force this other team to stop landing at Fragment, like, reef them hard enough to where they stop, which I don't think is really going to happen because most of the time TSM isn't winning the fights there. Or they're going to have to switch drop spots and go land somewhere else, which I really don't think is the smartest move. because then they're going to have to learn all the houses and where they're going to drop and everything, and that's going to take a lot of time. So I don't think that's the move. But what are your thoughts on TSM State right now?
Yeah, man. TSM, they're in a really rough place. I really think they can get out of it, though. Like, they have the skill, but they're just making bonehead decisions, and it's costing them, man.
Well, I mean, this is also an early game, though. So I do kind of agree sometimes they're not making the best decisions. But if you think about it, TSM Imperial Howl and Reps have both said that they're not the best at early game fights in tourneys because, like I said earlier, it's in no one's control. No one can control it because it's just luck of the draw, whether you get armor, what type of armor, what guns you get. It's, like I said, it's all luck. There's not really much skill that really comes into this, or these early game fights that are happening.
Exactly. Like, it's like flipping a card, not knowing what it is, and risking your entire game on it.
Yeah. And, yeah. Exactly. That was put really well. Again, look at the metaphors today.
Yep. And then there's NRG wins game 5. Really not a surprise here. They made some good plays early on and then just had good positions and, again, good third parties.
Exactly.
That's what a lot here. Like, third parties are key. And that's, like, even if TSM did survive when they took out that team that they were contesting for Fragment, they still would have gotten third party by the other teams in Fragment West. So
yeah, COG.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, I'm not necessarily sure that would have happened, but it definitely could have. And I don't know, but NRG definitely deserved the win right there. They're a great team, especially in ALGS. Yeah, but a really big surprise in game 6 is Ranked is Harder does a no comms game for game 6 as a troll just to have fun. And that is something I kind of like that, with that Ranked is Harder does this type of stuff just to have fun. It kind of brings the light into ALGS when your teams aren't doing good. With teams like Ranked or Harder who just are in it to have fun and do crazy stuff.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, they still did pretty good that game. So.
They did. They did really good this whole tournament, honestly. Which is, it's a good surprise. But right now, since TSM isn't really doing amazing, as you all know, my second favorite team is Solifide Aim Assist. That's who we're rooting for now. But yeah, off to the end of game 6. And this was quite crazy. Like, we thought Solo Fide going into this game was going to win this at the end, with the right third party, but they used Bubble too soon and then weren't able to use it later and they just got destroyed. And then BSC, yeah, that's what it was. BSC third partied at the exactly perfect time, ran up that little ridge they had, and killed the last two teams in one game 6.
Yeah, they had a nice hideout there for the remains of that game, but they really, to just use their bubble too soon, and then they just had to come up from their hiding spot and then just get beamed in the head, so you know, it was rough, but hey, they got the top 10 from that, so.
Yeah, and big reveal, honestly, both me and you saw it coming after game 2, CLG won Winner's Circuit online tournament too, sadly. I mean, it's not too sad, but I'm like happy for them. because they're a cool team. Madness is great. All of them at CLG, they're a really great team, very talented. Sadly for TSM, this is a real fact. This was TSM's worst tournament that they have ever done, because it's the only tournament that they have never got top 10 in, which basically means they didn't qualify for the next one. So basically, if you think about it, every other tournament that TSM has qualified in, or been in, they've got top 10, which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that's true. It's really rough time for them. I really hope they get out of this dark patch.
Yeah.
If they can, I think they'll come out of it stronger, honestly.
Exactly.
Now we are going to get into goals of the week. And Jameson, hit us with your goal for the week.
Well, for me, it's probably just going to be reach gold 3. I probably could get more in a week, but since Lucas is going to be gone, he's going to be in Vegas on vacation, I probably won't be able to get to gold 2, just because I'm going to be solo queuing it. But yeah, what about your goal for the week?
Sorry, J-Man. I can't really bring my Xbox in a casino. My goal for the week, taking the week off, just not think about Apex. Won't get to my rank, most likely, from being a week behind now, but it's okay. There's always next split.
Yeah.
And still get the head start from being in gold, so still trying to chase down platinum and eventually diamond.
Yeah, I definitely think getting it in the second split is definitely easier than getting it in the first split. I hope you have fun in Vegas, bro. I wouldn't want to think about Apex either on vacation, because what's the point in thinking about Apex when you can't play it?
Exactly.
Yeah, and on to tips and tricks. We've made a slight change, though. Instead of both of us giving a tip and trick, we have decided that it's just going to be, like, 1 week, whoever has the best tip and trick is going to give it. And we're both going to talk about a little bit of it. So it's both of us now and not just one of us. But this week's tip and trick mainly has to do with Gibraltar. So I've seen a lot of people, when they bubble and their team's pushing them, they stand in the direct middle. That is not a good idea for bubble fights. You never want to stand in the middle, or, like, you never want to stand middle front, middle, or middle back. You always want to stand either left back or right back, and so you just want to sit in the back right corner of the bubble, wait for a team to pop in, and then you want to, right as they pop their head into the bubble, shoot them, and then pop out of the bubble, and then back in, and that makes it easier for you to control the bubble fight and take less damage, but also put out more damage.
Exactly. And another thing, I don't know, this is pretty crazy to me, like, how much people neglect this, is, like, just use you have to pick up thermites if you're Gibraltar, and if there's a bubble fight, that will kill, like, if you just throw them in the bubble, man, that'll do so much.
Yeah, you want to throw them, like, right to the entrance, so if they come in, they're also taking damage from the thermite.
Or they just don't feel safe in it, so...
Yeah.
And it screws with their aim.
or they won't, like what you said, it'll screw with their aim because they can't see with all the flare of it, and then they will be missing their shots, or they just won't come in at all because they're not confident in going into a bubble fight with that.
Yeah, for sure. And now we have a new segment. It's called Fun Fact. And, yeah, the fun fact for this week is Complexity is owned by the Dallas Cowboys.
The NFL team. This isn't going to be a weekly segment, but we thought we'd throw this in there for... sometimes when we have fun facts. But, like we said this a while ago, Complexity is just the team you love to hate. I don't necessarily hate them anymore. Honestly, if TSM and Solo Fide both are dead, I'm rooting for Complexity at this point, because Monsoon, Shiny, Riptar, they're all great pro players, really nice.
Yeah. Monsoon was kind of being a little toxic there, but...
When?
In ALGS, in a few games, when they did the listening.
Oh, yeah. But that's just part of, like, ALGS. Sometimes you gotta yell at your teammates a little bit to, like, get them in the game and understand certain things.
Yeah, man. If people watch NASCAR, then they know that Kyle Busch is the person, like, Complexity.
And if you think we don't hate the Complexity just because they're owned by the Dallas Cowboys, that is not true. I actually haven't hated them for a while, and neither of us are actually Cowboy fans, so...
True. But, yeah, well, now we have to wrap it up.
Yeah. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Apex Theory. I hope you guys go back and watch ALGS yourself. And, yeah, I actually got a gamer tag change. So now it is Knights of Ren with a 3 instead of an E and a 1 instead of a T. So, yeah, that's what my Twitch and YouTube are now. And Lucas started Twitch and did his first streams a couple days ago at Last Cheerio with a 3 instead of an E. And check out his YouTube as well at Last Cheerio with an E. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode. See you guys later. Peace.